Almighty God, we need to hear from you this morning. We need you for life. And so we pray that you would speak to us. We pray that you would give us soft hearts and open ears to hear what you're saying. Give us a willingness and faith to believe. And help us to obey. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're at the second to last of our Jesus the Game Changer Part 2 series, and I want to start with a story. It was 2015 when I met my dear friend Naz. He's an Iranian asylum seeker, and we became friends as we were both volunteering, helping out at a local food bank in Melbourne. And we started spending time together. I was helping him to practice his English and just trying to be a friend to him. And I remember after a few months of knowing him, we'd been out for a walk and we ran into one of his friends, Jessam, who is also Iranian. And they started talking to one another. They speak Arabic, so they started talking in Arabic and they were glancing regularly at me in such a way that I knew they were talking about me. And so when they'd finished their conversation and Naz and I had continued on, I said to Naz, "What were you talking about?" And he said to me, "Well, Jason was asking me if you were my girlfriend." And I said to Naz, "What did you say?" And he said, with a real sheepish grin on his face, he looked at me and he said, "I told him I didn't know." It was gorgeous. It was so gorgeous. And at the same time, I thought, "Oh, you poor guy." Like, I've been speaking and talking about us as friends, and in my head, it was perfectly clear what this relationship was. But to him, he had no concept of what a friendship with a woman and a woman you are not related to actually meant. He just had no framework for that whatsoever, because in Iran, that just did not happen. You did not hang out with somebody that was of the opposite sex. So even though we had language that we understood, he knew the word friend in English, it made no sense to him. Because he had no framework for it to mean anything and to fit into. You know, it's the same when we come to share the good news about Jesus. Well, Cindy taught us so beautifully last week about the importance of language. It is crucial that we are speaking the same language and that they understand the language that we're speaking. That's why Bible translation and these sorts of things are so important that we continue. But friends, language alone is not enough. To successfully share the good news that we have in Jesus, we need not only language that our hearers understand, but concepts they understand as well. Look how Jesus models that for us in our two gospel readings today. So in Mark 1, Jesus is speaking to the fishermen. Notice that Jesus didn't say, "Come follow me, I'm going to make you evangelists and send you out to teach and preach in my name." Actually, what he said to them was, "Come follow me, I'm going to send you out to fish for people." To fish for people. Now they kind of get that. It doesn't answer every question about what they might think that means, but fish for people is something they understand because they know what it is to fish. I do that every day. I offer out the goodies, I see what bites, I reel them in. So fishing for people is going to be something like that, offering good news, seeing who's interested, who bites, reeling them in, gathering them in, showing them more. What about the woman at the well in John chapter 4? See, she knows what it is to be thirsty. She has this burden every day of needing to come to this well to draw water. She knows the need that she has for water, that she can't survive without it, but she also knows the dissatisfaction that there's never quite enough water. It never lasts long enough. It never fully satisfies. I have to keep coming back and drawing more. Thirst is only ever just around the corner. So notice that Jesus tells her the good news, not with, "Come follow me, I'm going to make you fish for people." No, he tells the good news to her by tapping into her thirst. He says in verse 13, "Whoever drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, this is language the Samaritan woman can understand, because she gets the burden of endless thirst. She feels her need for this water that can truly satisfy. And as the conversation keeps going, we see that that's not only in a physical sense, but also in an emotional, relational, and spiritual sense. She knows what it is to thirst. Notice that as Jesus uses concepts that his hearers will understand, it's the same good news. Come to me. In Jesus there is life, but that he uses different frameworks to share the good news, depending who it is that he's talking to. He doesn't have a one-size cookie-cutter kind of mentality when it comes to sharing the gospel. One size fits all and I just parrot it off and I'm done. Rather, he communicates the good news and he invites people to respond to him with individualized contextualization. That is, with language that they understand and with concepts that they can understand too. Friends, if we are to be successful at communicating the gospel, we also need to work hard at using language our hearers understand, but especially we need to work hard to use concepts and frameworks that they will understand as well. When I had that awakening moment, when I realised how far I'd been miscommunicating with my friend Naz, I went to somebody who has lots of experience working in an Arabic context, and I said to them, what sort of language can I use to help him know what this is, because the word friend is not working. And they told me, so helpfully, they said, call him your brother. Call him your brother. Introduce him to people as your brother even before you tell them his name. This is my brother. His name is Naz. You see, Naz has sisters. He knows what it is to be a brother. Show him that you are his sister. And Naz now lives with my parents. He is very much a part of our family. He is like a son to them. He is like a brother to me. It was such helpful advice, and very quickly, it felt a little bit clunky and awkward when I first started doing it, but very quickly he got it. Ah, that's what we are. So how are we to communicate the good news of Jesus in our context, with our neighbours and colleagues and family, in ways that they will understand? What are the concepts we might use? Because the truth is, friends, that in our increasingly secular, our increasingly post-reached culture, our post-modern and post-Christian culture, we, all of us, need to do some upskilling in this space. This is not just training that the missionaries like the Mackenzies and Mulherins need to do, who are obviously going to different cultural contexts. We, all of us, need to do some upskilling in this space because we are Christians living in a post-Christian world. And so the concepts that maybe used to work don't work so well anymore. Let me give you a couple of examples of how this might be. Consider the culture we live in, where the majority view is that there are no absolutes. Our 21st century Western worldview says we just need to be true to ourselves. And so the result is that in our culture, people resist any suggestion of guilt. How can anyone be guilty so long as they're trying to be happy and trying to live out their truth? So they either won't feel guilt about having broken any laws because they don't believe in such laws and absolutes anyway, or if perchance they do have some moments of guilt, they will resist that feeling and they will even fight back against it, believing it to be a construct of organised religion that is harmful to them and that has been imposed on them as a means of trying to rob them of happiness. And so if I go into that context to a person with that worldview and I share the good news of Jesus like this, Jesus came to save us from our sin and guilt, what's their likely response going to be? Could it be, if they don't say it out loud, they'll probably be thinking this, I'm being true to myself. I don't need saving. Jesus hasn't done anything that helps me. What about the idea of truth in the first place? Our culture is a relative culture, no absolutes. So you have your truth and I have my truth. I'm allowed to follow my truth. I'm free to follow that. You're free to follow your truth. So if I go into that context and I share the good news of Jesus by saying Jesus is the truth and no one comes to the Father except through him, what is their response likely to be? Might they reply, well, he might be your truth, but he's not mine. I'm free to believe whatever I want. In these examples, can you hear that it's not that we don't have the right language to talk about? We're communicating in language we understand, but we're talking in concepts that are misunderstood or indeed outrightly rejected by our culture. And so if we are to share the good news with our community, we need to do some thinking in this space. What concepts might work better to share this same good news, to share this old, old story? What are the frameworks that might connect as a better entry point so that these people can hear the good news before they shut off? It's not that we'll never get to the idea of guilt and sin. Jesus talks a lot about that. But maybe it's not the starting point. We need a different entry point so that they can hear this good news and engage with it. What might it look like to say, come and fish for people in our context? Well, please know that there are entire books and entire courses written to answer that question. All right, I'm not going to do it justice today. If you know of some resources, share them with your home group, share them with one another. If you're curious to find some resources, come talk to Trev, come talk to I. We'd love to help you to find and engage in some of these. Also, when we come to do some evangelism training in hopefully the near future, please plan to come. Plan to come. This is the sort of stuff that gets covered in evangelism training. But here are just a couple of suggestions for a better or a different entry point to communicate the gospel in our cultural context. Firstly, what about if we would share the good news of Jesus, thinking about how our relationships are broken and he brings reconciliation? You see, our community understands broken relationships. We know what it is to have family breakdowns. Divorce rates are higher than they've ever been. Families are torn apart in our community all the time. And even those that aren't torn apart, the evidence is overwhelming that there are deep rifts and wounds in our families. Not only so, we have all experienced having one-time friends that something has torn us apart and those wounds remain deep and raw. Our community gets broken relationships. So what about if we tried to share the good news of Jesus, tapping into that understanding and concept? Using the language that Jesus is the one who brings healing to our broken relationship with our Heavenly Father. That we are the ones who have broken the relationship with God our Father, but that God in his love for us has made a way for us to be reconciled through Jesus. And that even though in our earthly relationships, sometimes that reconciliation we really want never actually materializes. We never get it to the point that we think this relationship is whole again. Actually, through Jesus, God our Father has made a way for all of us to be fully reconciled. It's always possible with Jesus. That might be another way of finding an entry point to share the good news. What about this one? What about freedom? Our culture is quite addicted to freedom, but we tend to view freedom as the absence of any type of constraint. I can do whatever I want and I can be whatever I want to be. That's what it is to be free, we say. But the reality is that's actually a myth. We're all of us following after something. We are, as we would say, incurable worshippers. It's how God has made us. And so if we are not following after and worshipping God, we are following after and worshipping something less than him. Be it career or sex or a relationship or children or sport or success or money or whatever else it might be. You see, freedom is actually not about having no master. It's about having the right master. Because any of those lesser loves, though they might feel good and offer something when we first pursue them, they begin to enslave us the longer we follow after them. They demand more and more from us while offering less and less. You only need to think of the person who, because they have pursued their career and success so doggedly, they've lost their family. Or think of the person who has pursued pleasure and sex so doggedly that they're utterly addicted to pornography and can't have a real, honest, intimate relationship with someone. They enslave us when we follow after these lesser loves. So hear Jesus' good news for us in that space. In John 8, he says, "If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed." You see, only Jesus can free us from our deepest slavery, the God to self. Only he can save us by letting him be our master. We are truly free to love God, truly be free to be who he has created us to be, truly free to be loved by him in return. To our neighbours who are enslaved by a lesser master, what if we tried to start sharing the good news with a concept of freedom and how Jesus sets us free? It might be by asking some questions of their life, looking at where are they currently looking for fullness of life? Where are they currently tapping in to fulfill them? And how is it working out for them? And then being ready to share something of how Jesus has set you free, how you experience your freedom in Christ. Now, there are many other ideas that we could talk about. I don't have enough time to go into any more, but I want to set you a challenge over morning tea. I want you to ask one another, what have I used in the past that seemed to get some bites, that people seemed to be interested in? What concept did I use that seemed to be helpful? Share with one another so that you're learning. Was it about God as creator? Something like that. Share with one another so that we can keep sharpening each other. And again, I say, when we run some evangelism courses, please plan to come. Plan to upskill in this area. So it's time to wrap up. I want to finish, though, with four quick hot tips for what we can do today as we exit the building to start upskilling. Four hot tips. First, we can be curious. Be curious. Ask questions. Listen to the stories of your lost friends. Listen for what's most important in their lives. Listen to what it is that they are pursuing and how they are trying to satisfy their thirsty soul, so that we can start engaging in that space with them and point them to Jesus. Number two, pray. Goes without saying that we need to pray that God would open hearts and minds to his truth, because it's always God that saves. But I also want to encourage us to pray for his help to understand our time and our context. Because this stuff can feel a little bit like trying to explain what water is to a fish. We are deeply immersed in our cultural context as well. We're not immune from it. And so we actually need God's help to see rightly where the gospel actually challenges our culture, where it has a better plan for us than our culture. So pray. Number three, go to them. Go to them. Be the one who loves enough to initiate, just like Jesus did when he called those fishermen, when he spoke to that woman who would have expected that he entirely ignored her. Go to them. Initiate conversation. Initiate contact. Love enough to get out of our comfort zones. Love enough to open up our private worlds to those who don't know Jesus. So often, our failure to evangelize is actually rooted in a failure to love. And finally, fourthly, reflect on your story. How has knowing Jesus changed the way that you view what's important in life? How has knowing Jesus redefined what you think of as successful? How has knowing Jesus redefined how you think about yourself and your self-worth? These sorts of questions, we need to think on them now so that we'll be ready to listen and tune in to those things that our friends and neighbours are saying, picking up on how they are choosing lesser ways, and we are ready to share something of how Jesus has changed our lives in that space. So reflect on your story. Friends, as I finish, remember that we are Christ's ambassadors in this time and place in Bendigo, because that's how God has designed it. And so if we are not sharing the good news of Jesus, no one else is. So let's be bold. Let's try new ways. Let's keep thinking through how we can share this same old story, but in ways that will make sense, in concepts that will make sense to our neighbours and our teammates and our friends. Let me pray. Lord God, you alone can save. So help us to be your faithful ambassadors in this time and place. Lord, give us love enough that we would be bold to share Jesus wherever we can. And give us insight that we might find the language and the concepts that will meet the heart's cry of our neighbours. For we ask it in Jesus' mighty and loving name. Amen.